part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. I'm gonna do it part.
I ruined everything.
Yeah, it's pretty much the end of the universe.
Hold on. Start recording. Let's get that. Let's start with that.
I know. I already did. Okay, well, should we get started with another episode of Part-Time Fanboy?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, I am Christian Horn, and I am here with Paul Edwards, and we are joined by Corey Blake.
Yay.
Returning from a long sabbatical. Yay, Corey.
Yay!
Welcome back. It's like the Muppets. basically, so this week, our schedule is kind of all pushed the recording of this back. And I think that was kind of fortunate because 2 days ago, Marvel dropped a huge bomb on the nerd universe and announced a whole shitload of movies.
In case you haven't been paying attention to the internet or any sort of media in the last 2 days.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was a pretty big announcement.
Pretty big. Well, I love how like I'm emailing everyone and Corey's like, what did I miss? I was like, Corey, the world is... things are happening and you need to know about it. Like,
yeah, I was stuck at work and then I stepped out of the office for just a second and I was looking at my email and I was like, well, what's going on?
What did Marvel do now? That darn Marvel. So what are some of your guys' thoughts? Like, what are you thinking? Because I when I was at work, I fell out of my chair. I was like, what? Like when all the stuff started coming through and the details started leaking.
Yeah, I was just telling Corey earlier, because I didn't want to totally get into it, but I was just sort of blown away by sort of how ambitious the schedule is.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Corey? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was pretty excited and was surprised by some of the choices that are a little bit... You know, obviously they're sort of emboldened by Guardians of the Galaxy, and so they were like, well, all right, then we'll pick even more obscure characters, fine.
Well, that's the thing, right? Well, let's go over the list here for a second. I'm actually looking at comicalliance.com on their article that kind of broke the news. So
well,
you've
I'm
got...
looking on marvelcinematicuniverse.wikia.com.
Well, there you go. So we've got the next movie after... Age of Ultron, right?
Correct.
Is Captain America Civil War.
In
right?
2016.
Yeah.
Right. Which they teased me by doing the joke title on it was that it was Captain America the Serpent Society.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, hey, that's insanely cool. But then they had to... do the Civil War thing on me.
Yeah, well, that's funny because I read today that there were a lot of people that as soon as they announced like Captain America Serpent Society, there was a huge sort of like Phantom Menace like screech that came from a certain, you know, a bunch of people like on Twitter and like, oh my God, that sounds horrible. Like, you know what I mean? Like basically like when we all first heard the news about, you know, the title, The Phantom Menace, and we're like, oh, brother, this doesn't sound good, you know, and tried to, like, you know, cover up, like...
See, but they're bad guys, and they're all named after snakes.
Yeah, I know, exactly, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, but Kevin Feige, or is it Feige? I always thought it was Feige, but...
Sure.
Either way, the big head honcho at Marvel... faked everyone out by saying the next movie was going to be Captain America, the Serpent Society, ended up being Captain America, Civil War. So, which to me, you know, if we're going to get into it right now.
Sure. Let's open the can of worms early.
I'm a little bummed about that because Civil War, along with one of the last like Infinite Crisis thingies, mm-hmm. was the comic series that made me drop weekly books. You know what I mean? It was the one where I was just like, I'm kind of done here.
Well, here's my thing with it is like in the cinematic universe, like, I mean, look, the whole thing about the, you know, Civil War in the comics was that they had to reveal their identities. And really, none of these people have sort of secret identities in the cinematic universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody seems to know who Captain America is. Everyone for sure knows who Tony Stark is.
Yeah.
It's they're going to have to go a really different way if they're going to, do any sort of Civil War storyline.
Yeah,
Kevin Feige or whatever said in an interview after the press release that the Civil War won't really go, you know, exactly what you're saying, that it's not really going to be about the revealing secret identities or anything like that. It's more about who are these superheroes answering to, and you know, there needs to be some sort of either hierarchy or management of these people. They can't just be running around doing whatever they want because of, you know, something that probably has to do, I imagine, with the Avengers, the Age of Ultron and the destruction that happens from there or something, I suspect.
Yeah.
Probably because Tony Stark is going to have invented Ultron, is my guess, and then Ultron's going to end up, not being very nice, and so they're going to be like...
Spoiler alert, he's bad.
Yeah, spoiler alert. yeah. Spoiler alert, the villain in the movie is the villain.
Yeah.
What, James Spader playing a villain?
No.
Unheard of.
A sleazy, oily character type? No. No.
Yeah. Hey, literal oily this time.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, it's actually really funny because there's a part of me after seeing, I'm assuming we've all seen the Age of Ultron trailer, mm-hmm. and the thing that kind of debuted last night where they kind of snuck in another clip at the beginning to make up for the fact that the trailer kind of leaked before they were going to debut it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but...
Or did it?
Or did it? Dun, dun, dun. That's another question. Yeah, my wife basically says that she doesn't believe that there's anything... That there is anything like an unauthorized leak. She's like, no, somebody knew that it was coming. Like, somebody snuck it out. You know, I mean, it's not like it was... It wasn't literally leaked, like somebody at Marvel leaked it, you know what I mean?
All I know is, in any case, I'm always waiting for the HD version, anyway, because I don't want to sit through another, you know, handycammed version,
Yeah, but I mean, it seems like in that trailer, which I think I've watched like 5 times already, something's going on with the Hulk, right? I mean, you kind of got the Hulkbuster armor, you see cops in the streets shooting at him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they're sort of aiming towards bringing back this, the Hulk is a menace, you know, sort of thing, you know?
I don't know. I know that the Hulk is suspiciously absent from the Phase 3 films. There's not a standalone Hulk movie.
Yeah.
So,
He wasn't in Phase 2 either.
Yeah. That's true.
Entirely.
That's true. So, I mean, obviously something big is going to go down. You're going to have Captain America facing off against Iron Man. You know, whose side do you choose? So that's sort of like, and actually I heard them calling Captain America Civil War sort of like Avengers 2.5, that it was going to be like, you know, which makes me nervous too, because the Marvel movies tend to waffle a little bit when they sort of depend too much on each other. You know what I'm saying? Too much. You know, I kind of thought that like that the first Thor movie was a little weak when it was like trying to like bring in the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, let this be a Thor movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, they did such an amazing job with the second Cap movie, you know,
Well, right after that, though, they go to Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, going to be something completely different from what anything they've done so far. It's sort of a Guardians of the Galaxy type of a gamble for them, you know, because it's a completely different universe inside of the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So that's sort of an interesting thing to do after Avengers 2.5.
Yeah.
And then they're following it up with the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah. Well, do you think, like, why is Doctor Strange? I mean, I'm excited about Doctor Strange if they just go crazy with it. You know what I mean? It would be awesome to see, like, Dormammu with the flaming head and all the crazy Ditko, you know, nutso stuff. I mean, history pretty much shows that we may not get it that crazy. You know what I mean? But why Doctor Strange, though, guys? Because, I mean, I was reading an article today that basically said, like, almost every comic the guy has been in, like, on his own, has never really been that big a success, right?
Well, I mean, the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, they rarely had any sort of success whatsoever. I think it's because Doctor Strange is really the last of the original 60s, you know, Lee, Ditko, Kirby era character that has not had a movie.
Yeah.
And so he was really kind of the missing link as far as digging into the original pantheon.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I'll be honest with you, it's, if they do indeed land up, you know, wind up landing Benedict Cumberbatch for the part, in a way it's worth it to get him into the Marvel stable and out of the DC stable, because they were talking about him for Sandman at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wasn't what's-his-face, Looper, gonna play that part? Like, isn't he, like, producer?
He's producer, but he, you know, as far as I know, there's no plans for him to act.
Really? Corey, yeah. I thought he was gonna act in it. Weren't you the one that was, like, super freaked out about the Sandman movie?
In that it's completely unnecessary.
yeah. Well, I figured, what's that guy's name? I keep wanting to say Thomas Hayden Church, but that's not it. It's
that'd be kind of awesome. No, not Neil Patrick Harris. It's another person with three names.
Edward James Olmos.
No.
James Earl Jones.
No. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm blanking out on the guy's name. Robin from the last Batman movie. We all know who we're talking about. Yeah. Oh, so that's
Joseph
interesting.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's so funny. Oh, my God. But so that's interesting. So they were.
Oh, yeah. It was him. Yeah.
They were trying to get Benedict Cumberbatch to do Sandman,
because his name has been thrown around.
Oh, so. I had heard that they might have wanted him for Martian Manhunter.
Well, in any case, Marvel ends up getting him for Doctor Strange, then he'll be out of the DC. As far as I know, I mean, I'm assuming that there's sort of a non-compete between,
for
actors, but, you know, I mean, crazy.
Although,
things.
You know, Chris, what's his name? Chris Evans was Human Torch in another studio and Captain America. So
that's true. But it didn't quite, it's not quite, well, at that time, there wasn't the bad blood that, you know, that there
that's
is
true.
Sort of true. Between, you know, DC and Marvel, who seem to sort of be out to, you know, one up each other with all of these.
Sure.
And then, you know, continuing, because I've got the DC schedule pulled up too. And so, you know, opposite Captain America, you know, we've got famously the Batman versus Superman movie, which it's not going to be the same weekend anymore, but, you know, it's still there. And then DC's putting out a Suicide Squad movie to go up against Doctor Strange.
Well, have you guys seen, there's this thing at comicsalliance.com, and it's the super movie timeline, and they've basically got this poster, Google Comics Alliance super movie timeline. They've got this poster sort of thing where they line up like all the superhero movies going to 2020, and it's crazy. Like, I am just really surprised that no one at Marvel or even at Warner Brothers doesn't think that this whole thing reeks of oversaturation of the market. Like, what do you guys think of that? Because when Marvel started, like, when I started reading down the list, I was like, this is crazy. Because, look, you've got 2014, Big Hero 6, whatever, that's animated. 2015, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man. Then the Fantastic Four, 2016, Deadpool, Superman versus Batman, Captain America Civil War, X-Men Apocalypse, Suicide Squad, Doctor Strange, Sinister Six, and it just goes on and on and on for like the next 5 years.
Yep. Corey had mentioned something about that on his Facebook page, you know, that, you know, it's possible, but I mean, you know, we're reaching the point where, like, these are going to be sort of the big tentpole movies from now on, you know?
Yeah, my if you read my Robot Six blog that I posted today at Comic Book Resources, paused for linking. I talk about this and one thing I didn't say is part of what Kevin Feige, I'm just gonna pronounce it crazy every time.
Let's just call him the big cheese at Marvel.
Somebody did ask him about this and he was like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a something we think about every year, but you know, he didn't say this, but I kind of got the impression it was kind of like, what are you gonna do? It's like, they can only make the movies that they want to make. They can't you know, coddle their schedule so that everybody else is okay. So yeah. All they've done is added one movie in the winter. That's, you know, they've gone from two movies in the summer to three movies a year. Mm-hmm. You know, two in the summer and one in winter. So it's not like they're just going absolutely bonkers. You know, obviously the announcement of it is, you know, a huge slate, but as far as what they've been doing so far compared to what they're planning to do, it's not like a huge oversaturation. Right. It's because, you know, you have DC also doing the exact same thing and Sony trying to do their mini version of it and Fox trying to do their mini version of it. You know, plus random stuff like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and stuff at other studios. That's kind of what I talk about in the blog is I think these are just becoming the, you know, nobody says like, oh, all these comedies, I think people are going to get sick of laughing and they're not going to be comedies anymore. It's like, you know, it's just part of the Hollywood landscape now is, you know, it's always been, not always been, but for decades now has always been, there's the big Hollywood blockbusters and now those blockbusters are superhero movies.
Huh. I mean, that's a good point, but you don't think that there's any, like, I understand Marvel not trying to adjust. It's not saying, like, we're not going to back down from our schedule, and Warner Brothers saying, like, we're not going to back down from our schedule, but, and then you've got Star Wars movies, you've got Star Trek movies, you know, you've got all these other properties. Nobody's kind of, like, looking at each other and going, like, this might be a little too much. I mean, there's one of them is bound to bomb, right? I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm guessing it might be the unknown date female lead Spider-Man spinoff.
Yeah, aww. Probably. Yeah,
that could be a Firestar movie.
Oh, Corey, holding out for Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Oh my God, that's fun.
Yeah. I mean, undoubtedly, some of them are gonna not do all that well, and that's, you know, that is the risk, obviously. You know, again, as I mentioned in that Robot Six article, is that these movies I think are gonna have to not just be, hey, we're a superhero movie. It's, we're a superhero movie that does this specific thing and is in this particular style. Like, they're going to have to step out in a different way and kind of, and at the same time, kind of step up a level and be something like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's like this left curve nobody was expecting. Yeah. You know, so they're going to have to like earn their place. And if they don't, yeah, that's, you know, too bad.
There's a part of me that wonders, that I was wondering when I was talking to a friend at work the other day. I was thinking, like, do you think that there's such a huge global market for movies like this at this point, where it just seems like they've kind of factored in the costs for everything and been like, look, no matter what, we're not going to have a huge bomb on our hands, right? Like, some of them may not do as well as others, but at this point, like, we're never going to have, like, you know, like, something tank, you know, in the global market, like, factoring in the global market. Like, so do you think that they are just thinking, like, that there's not any real giant risk connected to these? Because to line up that thing and have them all be interconnected, you know, it just seems kind of nuts.
I think they're seeing that. I think they're seeing that Marvel is like sort of the trailblazer, and that when Marvel coordinated all these movies and had them coalesce into this one big Avengers movie, something that really, I mean, they took three, four, if you count the Incredible Hulk, franchises, like they're separate franchises as far as like Hollywood sees them,
yeah,
and brought them into one movie that had never been done before. That was like if you took Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and whatever else, and put it into its own movie, it's Hollywood was just like, that's never going to work. Yeah. It's going to just fall on itself because
well,
you have
they
all
did
these.
That and it was Battle Beyond the Stars and it was terrible. But but yeah, it was they did do a huge thing. Now what I think will be interesting is one if we'll see a degree of the degree that what you've seen so far is all this integration, you know, like, oh, we're going to make it all part of the universe and they're all going to tie together. I'm wondering if we're going to start to see some of them that are a little more standalone. Like the Wolverine movie was, you know, or I'm kind of suspecting the Black Panther or Doctor Strange, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully, because it's kind of what worked with the first phase there, was that, and with Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like when you they got to start off as their own movie and be a solid movie on their own. You can't just sort of. You know, hopefully DC realizes this too. You know, you can't have like Suicide Squad talking about Justice League stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they have to establish themselves. But that interweaving thing that happened that Marvel did, that's why I think you're seeing these like slates being announced. You're not seeing like, guess what? We're going to do, you know, Wolverine 3. And they lay out the whole plan of movies. And I think that's why. And so it seems like these big undertakings, because they're kind of trying to create this sense that they're all going to coalesce into this great big moment, which may or may not happen. I mean, you know, it's like,
I'll be honest with you. The one to watch as far as a trend on this thing might be Sinister Six, which is scheduled for November 11th of 2016.
The Spider-Man thing?
Yeah. I'm interested, but if one of these falls off the map first, I think it's going to be that one.
Well, haven't they already canceled plans for that? I thought that I had heard that Sony was like backing off of Spider-Man stuff and that,
It's all still on the, on the list, and it's,
I think they were backing off of what's his name as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I think they're trying to find new ways to have Spider-Man movies without calling it a Spider-Man movie, because it doesn't seem like they're working when it's just called Spider-Man or Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. I mean, so let's go further down this list. You've got, after Guardians, you've got Thor Ragnarok. Right?
Uh-huh.
Which sounds like really ominous. Do you think that with Thor Ragnarok, because I think in Civil War I think Cap's going to bite it in Civil War.
I'll be honest, they'll probably use Captain America Civil War to reboot Cap and Iron Man.
So you think that they will use that opportunity to get rid of Iron Man as well?
Well, it is interesting. There's no Iron Man movie in Phase 3. That, I think, is the most significant omission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting, because, I mean, in Civil War, part of Civil War, and one of the reasons I kind of dropped the Captain America book when I did was when they shot and killed Captain America, and that was kind of like where my nerd, thing went. Like, I love Ed Brubaker, but I was like, oh God, we're killing another character again that we know is not going to stay dead, that sort of thing. But I mean, this would be a really good opportunity to have Cap, be assassinated and then introduce the Winter Soldier guy, Bucky, and sort of follow in the steps of Brubaker's run, right?
Well, you could do that, or you could even go with, Anthony Mackie and,
That's true.
Follow what they're doing in the comics.
That's true.
You know, it's they when they get to the end of their current, you know, lineup, they're going to have you know, a little more, in a way they've got more freedom, and in a way it's got to be terrifying for them because it's the end of the sure thing. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And you know, phase three pretty wisely opens up a whole bunch of new stuff. You know, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, you know, Inhumans, you know, and
but at the same time, I mean, that's actually kind of interesting. What Christian, what you were saying a little second ago, like Ragnarok, I mean, which is, you know, essentially the death of Thor and the death of the whole Asgard pantheon,
yeah,
and Civil War, which is where Captain America gets assassinated, and we know that Robert Downey Jr.'s time as Iron Man is very limited, and actually we thought might have been already done.
Yeah.
What if they are sort of using phase three as the way to both introduce new people, as you were just saying, Paul, and also to phase out that sort of first generation to one, you know, reboot them with new actors because the others are getting too old, or, you know, or like you're saying, like have a legacy thing with where, you know, the Falcon or Winter Soldier takes over. That's kind of an interesting idea.
Well, yeah. The reason that I brought it up when we were talking about Thor Ragnarok is because the new female Thor was like the big thing in the comics right now. Mm-hmm. I haven't read weekly comics in a long time. You know, I'll tend to pick up trades. I don't know what the story is behind the female Thor, if she's tied into some like giant event, you know, at Asgard, but it seems like if you were going to do Ragnarok, or you could even introduce, what's his name? What was the guy's name who took over for Thor a little while? Beta Ray Bill or, that guy Thunderstrike or something like that?
No, they had Thunderstrike. There was Beta Ray Bill and, you know, all kinds of. There've been all kinds of Thors.
The frog. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds like, who knows, there could be a real interesting opportunity developing. But then, you know, once you sort of get to Avengers Infinity War, if you're not including Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr., you know, in those events, don't you think that's kind of a big kind of letdown?
Potentially. It depends on what they built, you know, by that point.
It really does. And, you know, it could be that's, you know, I have no idea. I have no idea. Like, that's really where things sort of get, like, very fuzzy for me.
Yeah.
I was thinking, too, on the drive home, like, I wonder if Guardians of the Galaxy are going to show up in Avengers Infinity War. Like, it's just going to be everybody.
Oh, my God. That would be insane. How would you pull that off?
I don't know, but they did it, you know, they did something that seemed that insane with the first Avengers movie.
I guess. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what, so Black Panther, like, that's a big deal. Like, that's a character that even before Blade, you know, people were like, when are we going to see a Black Panther movie? Like, that to me is, like, huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really happy to see that.
Yeah, me too. And apparently, rumor is that he's going to show up in Age of Ultron.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? I thought it was the Captain America Civil War one. But maybe.
Oh, maybe. Either one. I mean, if he shows up, like, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And I like the art that they released, like the costume.
Yeah.
It's really cool, like the crisscrossing patterns there.
Yeah, yeah. It looks very cool.
It's a good choice for them, you know. It's one of those things that's sort of overdue, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm glad they announced that. The same with Captain Marvel, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Warner Brothers sort of beats them to a female superhero with Wonder Woman, you know, the year prior. But you know, hopefully. I don't know. I always liked Carol Danvers, so I think that'll. Really,
yeah, but apparently rumor, you know, there was
it ties in well, you know, sort of with the Guardians of the Galaxy and the sort of more cosmic thing that they've got going on too.
Yeah, absolutely. But there was also, you know, obviously people are speculating like crazy, you know, people were saying like, oh, DC's gonna have their female, you know, a superhero before Marvel does, but people are even speculating that she's going to show up in Age of Ultron at some point too, or even Civil War. So, I mean, it just seems like, you know, these things are going to be like incredibly interconnected.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on the Inhumans? Because that to me is like, because to me the Inhumans was always a Fantastic Four thing, right? And I figured that those rights would have been tied up with Fox, but I guess not.
Not really, because I mean, if you're watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season, it seems that they're sort of laying the groundwork for the Inhumans now on TV.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so, because. Yeah, because they're already introducing, you know, the Kree into the show, and so I mean, I think they're definitely laying a lot of their groundwork for that, you know, on the TV side.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I've ever been a huge fan of the Inhumans outside of, like, you know, their appearances in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, so the Inhumans are kind of weird for me. That was really the left field choice for me when I saw the whole slate of announced movies.
Yeah.
They're cool looking, and there's a lot of cool stories with them. But as far as lead characters and their personalities, they've always been kind of flat for me.
Uh-huh.
It kind of feels like it's meant to be another Guardians of the Galaxy, but the Guardians of the Galaxy, their characters are very, like, quirky and weird, and, you know, there's, like,
fun
humor.
Yeah.
And humans, like, I mean, they're a royal family, and they kind of act like it, you know. Like,
they're broody.
Very, yeah, they're very brutish and
stiff, you know, upper lip.
Yeah, formal, and yeah. And so, you know, you have a teleporting giant dog, that's fun.
But, yeah, that's true.
But after that, it's kind of like, okay, there's cool powers, like Medusa's powers should be visually very cool. But then you've just got, you know, Karnak, the ninja guy, then Gorgon with the horse feet, which would look cool.
Yeah.
And, Black Bolt is kind of cool, but he doesn't say anything. And then there's the Triton, and then that's kind of like it. And they're all kind of like serious characters, and they're all sort of dry to me.
Yeah.
So, and Crystal, I guess. Like, Crystal's there.
Yeah. It seems like sort of a neat choice in the sense of, like, it could be the most Kirby looking movie.
Yeah.
You know? But the characters are not, you know, generally, like, super well known. And outside of their stints with the Fantastic Four, you know, like Crystal and Medusa, you know, they're not really well known. Although Lockjaw is really, really well loved.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I mean, the Inhumans, now that you mention it, isn't Quicksilver, like, related to Crystal? Like,
they were married for a while.
Oh, they were married. That's what it was, right? So that would be interesting. I mean, if everything's all tying together, like, that kind of makes a little bit of sense, since they are introducing Quicksilver into, you know, the next Avengers movie. And, you know, if he sticks around through the next several phases, like, you would have Crystal, I would imagine, and something sets off there. I mean, I wonder if that's another character who will weave in and out through all the movies, you know?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what phase four turns into, you know? Because it all seems to culminate in this two-part Infinity War movie.
Which sounds crazy!
Yeah.
I mean, I...
Well, it sounds crazy, but not as crazy as another Green Lantern movie in 2020.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, because, I mean, to me, when this announcement came down, you know, in comparison to, like, what DC Warner did the other day, I mean, it just really just blew everything out of the water. Because I know that it seems like every time Warner Brothers makes an announcement, everyone's like, really? Like, you know, like it seems like they keep making, like, these really kind of strange choices. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think it's interesting that we're able to sort of, like, okay, like, we're sort of trying to, like, guess what their creative team's doing. It's like, okay, how are they going to tie this together? Like, how does this lead into, because we do, you know, because they've established this pattern of things tying together and this universe, this cohesive universe that works together.
Yeah.
Whereas like Warner Brothers, okay, I mean, this Batman Superman movie is going to be sort of the first time that they've even tried to cross any of their heroes over.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And so now, yeah, like whenever they make another announcement on something, it just, it's kind of like, well, okay, you know, well, yeah, they're going to do Wonder Woman after that because they're introducing her, you know, here in this movie. But then, you know, from there, they go from Justice League to a Flash standalone movie.
Yeah.
And then to an Aquaman standalone movie where it's like, well, wouldn't you want to do those before you do your Justice League movie?
Yeah.
You know,
see what works.
But, you know, that doesn't, it doesn't seem that they are as intent on telling the big story in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that sort of infuriates me to a certain extent is, you know, I mean, I came up with the, and it really does bug me because I'm really, really starting to like these CW shows, you know, The Flash and and Arrow. Like, I'm really growing to like them a lot. And you've got, like, The Flash is the, like, as of right now, it's like the baby of the CW network. Like, it's getting like the highest ratings that network has ever seen. And you've got a guy who is charismatic, and then you go and create a whole other movie with a completely different actor who is unproven in almost anything. I mean, I saw the movie that he was in called The Truth About Kevin or something like that. And he was kind of like odd in that flick. He was, granted, he was playing an oddball, but, you know, I just don't see that guy as the Flash, you know? And when you've already sort of established like Arrow and the Flash on a TV network, why are they so against like giving these guys a shot, you know, on the big screen, or to combine the movie and the TV properties as one? It kind of just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, there's a whole contractual thing. It's like you have to sort of renegotiate, and it's like, well, I'm the star of this TV show, and now you want me to do a movie?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's probably why. But I wonder too if there's going to be a you know, a little confusion, because it's like Marvel has already said, like, yeah, our movies and TV shows cross over, like they're in the same universe.
Yeah.
And you know, when like Green Lantern, the, you know, the last Green Lantern movie, when they announced who was playing Green Lantern, like all over Twitter, they're like, Green Lantern's a black guy, you know?
Yeah, people, that's right.
Because most people saw that character, you know, saw the Jon Stewart character in the cartoon. So it's like audiences aren't, you know, aren't necessarily like, oh, the movie universe is different than the TV universe. And so Marvel, I think, like, gets that and is like, no, it's all in the same universe. And so, yeah, I think they might run into, I mean, who's to say if the Flash TV show will still even be running at that point. But
yeah,
but, you know, I think there is, you know, it certainly seems that likely since it's doing so well. But they may run into what you're talking about, like confusion of like, why is it a different Flash when we already have a Flash? And
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to kind of echo what you were saying, that they, you know, looking beyond just the Flash, but like they do seem to be kind of putting the horse before the cart, where it's like big Justice League crossover and then the other characters.
Yeah.
You know, it does seem like, well, can't we get to know these characters first and then have them all jump in together?
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting too to see if DC like sort of ends up going outside of, you know, the pretty small creative team that they've got together. I mean, are they going to do a movie that David Goyer doesn't write, for instance?
Yeah,
you
know?
It feels to me like they are really putting more eggs in their basket there.
Yeah.
Well, DC's really like playing catch up, and like they're far behind.
Big time.
You know, like Marvel has been doing this since 2008, and DC is just now being like, hey, oh yeah, we're doing a universe too. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it's they're seriously playing catch up, and they're like pretty far behind. I am excited. Like Suicide Squad is like a weird choice, which I feel like is the Guardians of the Galaxy response, but I'm still like, that's cool. I'm interested. I'm thrilled about Wonder Woman. I'm about time.
Yeah.
You know, so there's stuff in there. A Cyborg, great. You know, there's definitely stuff in there that I'm like,
the Shazam movie sounds, I mean, I would love to see a Shazam movie, you know, and it's why
I just hope it's fun. I hope it's
fun. I agree. Well, I feel like they should like in a way embrace like the one shot in a way, instead of trying to tie it all together, like the way Marvel has, you know, just go nuts with like, you know, sort of like this incredible stable of characters that you have there in these sort of single movies. And if they hit big, then work a way to connect them together, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my biggest problem with the DC thing, and, you know, I've made it known several times on the podcast, is that you're basically, it seems like you're established, your foundation is being built up on Man of Steel, which quite honestly to me was not a great movie. Like, if you, the Marvel Universe Foundation, you know, despite whatever I feel about whatever stupid choices they made with Superman, I think as a whole, it wasn't that great a movie. You know what I'm saying? But Marvel built its foundation upon the first Iron Man movie, which was a very solid superhero movie, like really better than any of us expected it to be. So like with me, it seems like you're starting off with a crappy foundation, DC, and you're also starting off with, no offense, you know, I mean, Zack Snyder to me has never been sort of like the greatest director, and David Goyer, not always the greatest writer, you know what I mean? I mean, so to me, it just seems like anytime DC makes an announcement, I'm like, you guys have sort of already like shot yourselves in the foot when it comes to me. You know, obviously there are people out there that feel differently, with releasing this kind of dour Superman that, you know, isn't at all like the character that I wanted to see. So I get nervous when the cinematic universe starts developing, you know, like The Flash or Shazam, like you guys said, it needs to be fun. It needs to be lighthearted, you know, but I don't see them having any of that in there. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree with that problem, but I disagree that with the source. Like, I don't think they're building off of Man of Steel. I think Man of Steel was built off of the Batman trilogy.
Okay.
The Dark Knight trilogy, and I think that was the Man of Steel's problem, was that it was trying to be the Dark Knight, those Dark Knight movies.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I think the result is the same, but I think they're taking the cues of the massively successful and popular Dark Knight movies.
Yeah,
which is not, but, you know, it's like that's not a one size fits all, you know, it's like that's not what Superman should be.
Well, hey, but, as long as we get untitled female centric Spider-Man, off,
you know,
that better be the final title.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Chris Nolan movies and that thing is because Superman, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight. Batman Rises or whatever the last one was, Bane's Mr. Magoo voice. Those movies didn't come close to making anything that the last couple of Marvel movies have made. Like Superman clocked in at about like 500 million, maybe six, you know. The first Batman Begins was not a huge hit. Like it wasn't a gigantic hit. The second one did better. And the third one, you know, I can't remember. But
The Dark Knight was a million. It was huge.
Yeah, the Dark Knight was a very big movie.
Yeah, but I don't think any of them were approaching like a billion and a half, which Iron Man 3, Avengers, and, you know, Captain America got close, I think has gotten close to a billion. Like, they're not the money makers that the Marvel movies have.
The Avengers is the top making one right now. Dark Knight is the second one, and everything else is under that.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Then you've got like, are you talking Dark Knight Rises or the second one?
I don't remember. I think it's the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight Returns, or whatever. That's...
We can't even remember the names.
Nolan's second one, the one with the Joker.
Okay, so that one was huge. Yeah. But then by the time you get to the third one and you get to Superman, like they're not, you know, it's not building off of each other, because from what I remember, you have like, you had Avengers, right? Which is a billion and a half, right? Or something like that. Iron Man 3 crosses a billion. Winter Soldier.
No, Iron Man 3 did not cross a billion.
Yeah, it did. Oh yeah, it did. I believe that it did, or it got close. Either way, whatever.
I think now that I had this is what happens when Skype made me close all my windows. I had all this research right in front of my face, and then I had to close it. So I'm trying to get back to Box Office Mojo, which had all the like worldwide numbers.
The only reason that I know about Iron Man is because they were talking about it all the time at work. So that's why. I'm pretty sure about my numbers. And then you've got Winter Soldier, which is like north of, I believe, 700 million, and Guardians of the Galaxy, which is huge. So the
top grossing comic book adaptations is Marvel's The Avengers.
Yeah.
And then The Dark Knight, and then The Dark Knight Rises, and then Iron Man 3.
Really?
And then the three Spider-Man. Yeah.
Oh, so then I stand corrected. Okay. Interesting.
I mean, so you can see why they chose to hitch their wagon to that. You know, it did well enough. The problem is that, you know, there's only Christopher Nolan is Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And for a lot of reasons, you know, that second movie was a lot of lightning in a bottle.
It was also self-contained. Like when it ended, right? Like with the third movie. So you can't really pull off of that, you know, like the other Marvel movies did, you know, where they're sort of pulling
off
of each
other. Iron Man was pretty self-contained, you know, as far as those superhero movies are.
Yeah, but that last scene was like, hey, we're going to have more, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Right,
like,
right.
That was the one that kind of like, you know, launched the
Nick
shot
Fury's.
Across the bow, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had a plan, you know. The fact that it's played out as well as it has is like stunning beyond belief. You know what I mean? Like, I never even thought that they would be able to get an Avengers movie together. Like, I was like, there's no way this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So,
with the same actors.
Yeah, yeah, with the same actors, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was right, because what's-his-face, Incredible Hulk, didn't make the cut. Ed Norton.
That's true.
So, but, you know, I knew that one ego was going to collapse and not be able to do the movie. But either way, I do have to say that I've been more impressed with, like, when the Marvel announcements come out, I think, which is the sort of whole point of like where we've kind of veered off. It seems like when the Marvel announcements come out, they have some sort of cachet behind them. When the DC announcements come out, it's like, hey, pay attention. Hey, everybody, we're doing something. We're doing something. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that the DC movies haven't had a chance to walk the walk yet, right?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, like I said, they're playing catch up, and Marvel has a lot of goodwill built up. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of curious about, like, what...
And also, Marvel also has the better track record. I mean, Marvel has yet to have a flop, and DC has those, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy did fantastic. Superman, not so much. You know, the Superman Returns or whatever the one they tried to do, and then the Green Lantern one was... You know, so...
Green Lantern.
You know, Man of Steel did good. So, you know, they're a little bit hit and miss.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they're definitely hit and miss. I mean... unfortunately, people seem to remember like the misses, like the Green Lantern movie. I mean, that was like, it's really funny because like the Green Lantern movie, I saw that when I was in Hawaii and my wife was like, oh, come on, let's go see the Green Lantern movie. You're going to go to Comic-Con and people are going to be talking about Green Lantern. I'm like, no, I don't want to see it. I don't like what's-his-face, the lead guy. I was like, I don't want to see it. And I went to see it. And maybe because I was in Hawaii and like all relaxed, you can't be bitter in Hawaii. You just can't get angry. And, you know, I was like, I came out of the Green Lantern like, you know what? That wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. It wasn't until I think I caught it again on cable or something where I was like, damn, Hawaii really is a magical place. It just makes everything better, you know, because I was just like, holy cow, this is a terrible movie. What was I thinking? So, you know, I don't know. But I guess, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. I mean, for me, it's like, having to find a sitter for all these movies, that's what's going to kill me. you know.
Well, don't worry. By the time Infinity Wars comes around, she'll be old enough to go to the movies with you.
Oh my God, that's right. Because we're talking about 2018. Yeah, you're not kidding. She'll probably be watching them with me. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So, do you guys have any other what did we all think about the Ultron trailer? Like, what did you guys think?
It was cool. I mean, you know, nice, creepy little, got no strings thing. James Spader is, metal James Spader, and I'm looking forward to it.
I was a little I really love the Avengers cartoon, like the Earth's Mightiest Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon there. And I don't know who did the voice for Ultron, but I thought it was really good. And the way, I think that was the first time I'd ever heard Ultron in a, not just reading his dialogue on a comic book,
sure,
in a comic book. And so, I thought that was done really well. It was very robotic, and it was yet there was emotion behind it, but it was very like that sort of flat tone to it.
Yeah.
And so with the trailer, James Spader obviously is, he's a human.
Yeah.
And so the way he wasn't trying to sound like a robot. They put a little filter over his voice, but that was pretty much it. So it was a little bit like, oh, he sounds a little too human, but I'll get used to it. I'll live somehow.
I mean, there was a bit of me that was really disappointed in the Ultron face, that we didn't get the frozen sort of mouth and eyes, which I think they could pull off. I mean, mm-hmm. Because I was talking to people and they were like, oh no, man, you got to have like the expressions on the face. And I was like, yeah, but that's what makes Ultron creepy, is that no matter what he says, he has that same crazy expression on his face. I mean? And so like him having sort of like, that last shot in the trailer where he's kind of got like, robotic like eyebrows that go down and like smiles a little bit. And I was like, oh no. But hopefully they'll have that crazy face in the movie at some point. And I do agree with you, Corey, that I really kind of wish they had done something to Spader's voice a little bit to make it like more, because I definitely always pictured Ultron as kind of having this screechy, like robotic metallic thing that was just, even when he spoke, he was just like irritating and crazy.
The thing is that they haven't really, I mean, what they've established with the movies so far, at least with Jarvis, they've got, it sounds like a person, their artificial intelligence already, it sounds like a human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it sort of wouldn't make sense in that, but then that's another thing that we're completely forgetting about too, is that they're going to introduce the Vision.
They didn't give us. Yeah.
Very excited about that.
Interesting. Yeah. Because I mean, you guys have seen the poster, right? Like the giant painted poster and like the Vision's like mm-hmm. off in the corner in the back. Like from what you could tell from that poster, he looks, not exactly like he does in the comics, but red and a green cape and all that. Like, that is exciting.
Yeah.
Do you think that they'll even touch like the Scarlet Witch, like Vision relationship? Like, do you think they'll even go there?
Save something for the next Avengers movie, man.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think that there'll be a romance between a crazy superpowered woman and,
dude, if they can fit that into the runtime too, then God bless them.
That's actually going to be Infinity War Part 2 is like the entire Vision Scarlet Witch miniseries from 1984.
My God. As long as they base it in my hometown, Leonia, New Jersey, then I'm all for it. Because that was like one of the things that I always used to get excited about. You would open up like the encyclopedia to the Marvel Universe and there would be like, home base of operations, Leonia, New Jersey. And I was like, yeah, baby. I was always like, that's awesome. So, okay. Any last thoughts on the big Marvel, onslaught that's coming? I mean, it just sounds like they're ready to take no prisoners.
Bring it on, man.
Yeah. Can't wait.
I'm up for it.
I mean, I am going to be spending a lot of money on not only seeing these things in the theater, but buying them on Blu-ray or whatever the formats are going to be by the year 2019. What is it, 4K disc or whatever? Like, who knows what it'll be, you know? Imprinted hologram onto my cerebellum, you know, I don't know. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it too. So cool. I think this announcement kind of just demanded our attention. We were going to talk about something else. Hopefully we'll get to that next week, but you know, I mean, good going, Marvel, because you basically, I mean, they kind of broke the internet in half, as Brian Bendis said, like a long time ago. Awesome. All right. Well, this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. I'm Christian Horn. I'm here with Paul Edwards and Corey Blake, and hopefully we'll be here next week with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Part-time fanboy.